it's easy for us to take for granted what we have inherited, especially as time goes on. And I think it's probably true that many of us in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and maybe many of us even here in New York, forget about the significance of what took place in this state and within the borders of this conference. And I hope this day will help us remember that. You know, God used regular people in significant ways when they allowed themselves to be open to God. And to just think that just down the road a little ways, God spoke personally to a man who was searching for truth and helped him understand. And then He brought a group of people together as they met together to discover truth. And we are near the theological birthplace of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's our job to persevere and to move forward, to allow God to finish what He started right here in New York about 160 years ago. Adventist Heritage Ministry, thank you for putting forth the effort to restore the historical places that are significant to this church. Thank you to the volunteers that live right here in this area. We heard one of them in the mission report this morning. For all of the hours and hours of work and the financial assistance you have put into making what we're going to dedicate today a reality. For helping us be able to remember better what God has done for us in our past. On behalf of the New York Conference, I want you to know that a lot of us understand the awesomeness of the responsibility and privilege we have to live here and to continue the work that has begun here. And it is our desire to empower all of us regular people to be used by God to finish the work soon so we can go home with Him. So on behalf of the membership of the New York Conference, I want to say this morning, welcome to this very special weekend, to this very special Sabbath. This day that the Lord has made and blessed and made holy just for us. May you leave here after today better able to remember what God has done for us in the past so we can move forward with courage for the future. May God be with us.
It is my pleasure on behalf of the Atlantic Union and our President, Dr. King, our Treasurer, Elder Tomasian, our two Vice Presidents, Elder Olivio and Dr. Metalis, to extend a very cordial welcome to you, the members of the Adventist Heritage Ministry, who are visiting from across the United States, and especially to the members of the Church, to Pastor Rouse and to the officers of the New York Conference. At the Union, we feel a sense of being blessed in that God selected our Union to serve as the host Union to launch His Church, which has gone clear around the world. What a tremendous privilege and blessing we have. And I'm speaking now very proudly as a member of the Atlantic Union. I trust you understand my Christian pride of being a member of the Atlantic Union Conference, that we have in our territory places such as Rochester and Maine, which serves to house and birth the pioneers of the Adventist movement. What a tremendous pleasure and privilege we have as people living in the Atlantic Union. And we are just delighted that you've come, and we want to thank the Adventist Heritage Ministry for their dedication and their commitment to making these historic places come alive with their funds and with their means and with the energy that goes to create and recreate in them a setting of what happened years and years ago, which helped to launch God's last day movement in the United States and around the world. And so today we've come to celebrate another milestone. And our prayer is that the zeal, the commitment, and the fervor that our pioneers exhibited will be exhibited by us today. They were instrumental in starting the work, and we can be instrumental in finishing the work. And Jesus will come. So God bless you on behalf of Atlantic Union, our Union Conference family, over 105,000 men and women throughout the northeast of the United States and Bermuda. We and our six conferences, we are just delighted. And I want to assure you that my wife and myself in coming today will carry back with us the inspiration that we've received as we've been here to be in the place and presence of people that were real, people who live like we live, and people who made a contribution for the Lord. And it's now our turn to take up the mantle and finish that. And to that cause, we are committed by the grace of God.
Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 499. What a friend we have in Jesus. William Miller spoke about his conversion and that in Jesus he found just the friend that he needed. And we have the opportunity to sing about that this morning. Number 499, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Gracious God and our Heavenly Father, who is still interceding for us in the heavenly sanctuary. We give you praise, we give you honor, for we know that yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. This blessed Sabbath morning, we have come today to celebrate the birth of a movement that has been spread so much around the world that yet in a little while we shall see our King. Help us, Lord, to fulfill this mission. Help us to fulfill the message of the everlasting gospel. We pray, Lord, that you will visit us today, that you will touch our hearts, touch our minds, and help us walk in the spirit of the pioneers. Bless your manservant that you have chosen today to break the word to all of us. And as we celebrate today, we ask, Lord, that our hearts will be blessed and our minds will be satisfied with the word of God. Thank you for all that you have done, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your power. Thank you for your guidance throughout the Holy Spirit in our life. As we close this prayer today, Lord, we ask that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And let the church say, Amen.
Found as one of the readings in the back of your hymnal. So I invite you to take your hymnal, turn to number 780, number 780, the Three Angels' Messages. This really is the charter of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Our commission is here. Let us read together, responsibly, the Three Angels' Messages. I will read the light print. I'll invite you to join me in reading the dark print. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Pleasure to invite the children to collect the Lamb's offering, after which you may come forward and hear reminiscences and stories from Ellen White. Thank you.
My name is Ellen White, and it is so, so special to be here with you. You know, I love children. Come on, sit down. Oh, is this what we were supposed to? Okay. Well, I thought I'd tell you a few stories from when I was a little girl. It's hard to believe sometimes that adults used to be little kids, huh? Well, you know, one of the things that I used to love to do with my brothers and sister was to go out into the woods, and the squirrels would hide hickory nuts. And we used to go and take those hickory nuts. We'd wander through the woods, and we'd look for the little hiding places of the squirrels. Well, I didn't think it was very fair that I should just take their hickory nuts. So I would take a little cloth bag with corn in it, with dried corn, and every time I'd take a hickory nut, I'd leave behind some corn for the squirrels. Do you think that's a fair exchange? I hoped so. I'd leave all through the woods little kernels of corn for the squirrels. You know, how many of you know how to milk a cow? Oh, wow. Well, when I was a little girl, most everyone knew how to milk cows. And most families had cows because our milk didn't come like your milk comes in cartons. So each family would have a cow. Well, one day, my job was to go out and bring the cows home. And my cow wasn't there. Bossy wasn't there anywhere. I called, "Come Bossy, come Bossy." No cow. So I had to go out into the woods and look because we needed that cow to come home. Well, I went, I kept wandering and kept calling. Finally, I heard, guess what I heard? Moo, you're right. I heard moo out in the distance. So I followed the sound of the cow and I found her, but she was in a little creek bed, stuck in the mud. And I thought, how am I going to get her home? So I went and I picked some sweet grass and I said, "Come, Bossy, come, Bossy." And then Bossy saw what I had and wanted what I had, and Bossy leaned forward. And I took the grass, and Bossy leaned forward, and Bossy tried to get her legs up out of that mud. And finally, I was able to grab her a little bit and bring her out of the mud and bring her home so we could enjoy the having our cow plus her milk. You know, in my home, do you know what the word idleness means? Who knows? Well, that means just basically sitting around doing nothing. My mother wouldn't abide that. She just did not accept idleness. Sometimes she would tell me a chore that I needed to do and I would complain. You never complain, right? When your mom says, "Take out the trash," you never complain. Oh, maybe. Maybe. That allows for maybe, so maybe not. Well, my mother did not like it when I complained, and she would remind me that I was part of the family, part of the team, and that I needed to do my chores. And so we were part of a family that worked together, and there was no idleness allowed in our home. Now, how many of you have started school this year? And the rest of you, I bet some of you aren't old enough for school. I bet you don't go to school. But some of you are starting school pretty soon, maybe even as soon as Monday. Well, when I went to school, we'd sit at a long desk, maybe three of us at a desk together. One day, the girl that was next to me and the girl that was next to her, oh, they were causing such a commotion. And the teacher got angry. He lost his temper and he threw a ruler. Can you imagine if your teacher threw a ruler? Ooh, I think the teacher would be in trouble. But the teacher threw the ruler, and it didn't hit one of those girls. It hit me in the forehead and caused a deep gash. Well, I decided then I'd run home. And the teacher came out of the school and ran after me and said, "Oh, Ellen, I am so sorry. I apologize for hitting you in the head with the ruler." And Ellen forgave him, but she reminded him that she was actually glad he had hit her instead of one of the other children. So even early in her life, Ellen showed, oh, she cared. The word that came around Ellen quite often, around me, was compassion. She loved children, she loved animals, but more importantly, she loved God. Thank you so much. You know, before you leave, James and I would like to give you a little something. We have a card with some things about Ellen White that we'd like you to take home with you and learn about Ellen White. And then you can find your seats again. And thank you for sharing this time with me.
Thy beautiful lamp shineth bright. One God, my shepherd, I